This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, so let's begin. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Surah Al-Fatiha. We begin Surah Al-Fatiha with Bismillah. And the statement, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful, this statement is an ayah of the Qur'an. It is a verse of the Qur'an, which appears at the beginning of every surah. So any surah of the Qur'an that you recite, you will notice that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is supposed to be recited, except for Surah At-Tawbah. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not recite Bismillah for that, meaning at the beginning of that surah. And the statement Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is known as the Basmala. All right, the Basmala. And Basmala is, you know, an abbreviated form in a way to refer to the statement Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And this is common with regards to other phrases as well. So for example, Hallala means to say La ilaha illallah. Kabbara means to say Allahu Akbar. Hawqala means to say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So Basmala is to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay. Now, when do we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is supposed to be said at many places, many occasions. First of all, we see that at the beginning of important documents, the Basmala should be said or it should be written. So for example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would send letters, at the beginning of those letters, Bismillah would be mentioned. Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he sent a letter to the Queen of Sheba, that letter also, as we learn in the Quran, begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was written, again, it began with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We also mention the Basmala before we eat. We say Bismillah or we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And if we forget to say it at the beginning, we say it whenever that we can remember. And in a narration, we learned that Iblis, Shaytan, asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of your creation has its apportioned provision. All of your creation has its assigned sustenance. What about me? So it was said, that on which my name is not mentioned is for you. So this is why it is so important that we say Bismillah when we eat. Even when we're slaughtering an animal in order to eat from it, the name of Allah has to be mentioned. When we go to sleep, Bismika Allahumma, or Allahumma Bismika Amutu wa Ahya, O Allah, in your name. When we're making wudu, again, we should say Bismillah. When we ride an animal, you know, a vehicle, a means of transportation, again, we say Bismillah. In the Quran, we learn that Nuh alayhi salam, when he embarked the ship, he said, Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha. When we enter the house, we should say Bismillah so that shaitan cannot enter. Even when we are undressing in order to change our clothes, that time also we should say Bismillah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the screen between the eyes of the jinn and the nakedness of the children of Adam is Bismillah. Meaning when you say Bismillah, that puts a screen between you and the eyes of the devil, so they're not able to see you. So the statement Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is a very important statement that we should say whenever we begin something important. And Bismillah means I begin with the name of Allah, meaning the first thing I do before even I start my work is that I take the name of Allah. Allah's name comes first. And this is a reminder that Allah is always first. Allah is always important. And you know, when you say Bismillah, when you're starting something, then you're going to make sure that you do what is right. So for example, if you have a habit of saying Bismillah, you're not going to be stealing something and saying Bismillah at that time. No, the mention of the name of Allah, what is that going to do? It's going to make you question what you're doing. It's going to make you careful about your actions. So Bismillah, I begin with the name of Allah. The name of Allah comes first. And why do I begin with the name of Allah? Seeking His blessing, seeking His barakah. Because the name of Allah is not like any other word. And remember this, the name Allah, the word Allah, Ismul Jalala, is not like any other word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us in the Quran, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً? Do you know anyone who has the same name? Meaning, there is no one who can bear the same name. This name only befits Allah. Why? Because this word has no synonym. It has no equivalent to it. And the name Allah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatest name. It's the most powerful name. And keep that in mind when you say it, because sometimes, you know, we take the name of Allah in a very casual way, in a very disrespectful way. So we have to be careful about that. Sometimes people will, you know, make fun of the adhan, especially the way that certain people pronounce the adhan, or, you know, certain people in their accent, you know, the way that they take the name of Allah, and people will make fun of that. So this is very disrespectful to the name of Allah. Remember that the name Allah is the most powerful, the most greatest name of Allah. Because in the Quran, we learn that huwa Allah. It is Allah who is الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. All the names of Allah are an explanation of the meaning of the Ismul Jalala. We learn, Huwa Allah, it is Allah who is Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir. In Ayatul Kursi, we learn that Allahu, it is Allah who is La ilaha illa huwa Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, La ta'khuduhu sinatu wa la nawm. So the name Allah is a very powerful and very special name that we should not belittle. We really need to keep that in mind when we take the name Allah. And this is the reason why we are taught that when we begin something important, we begin with His name. Because when we take His name, there is a barrier between us and Shaitan. Shaitan cannot see us. Shaitan cannot interfere in what we are doing. When we take the name of Allah, then the nature of the work we are doing changes. How? That, you see, when an animal is being slaughtered, and it's just slaughtered, you can't eat it. But when an animal is being slaughtered and the name of Allah is taken, then what? The meat of that animal is lawful for us to eat. If the name of Allah is not mentioned, the meat is not lawful for us. When the name Allah is taken at the beginning of something, then that something becomes blessed. It has blessing from Allah. So we learn, تَبَارَكَ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Blessed is the name of your Lord. So, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. We begin in the name of Allah, who is الرَّحْمَن, who is الرَّحِيمِ. أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All praise is due to Allah, who is the Lord of the worlds. What does this mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising Himself over here. He is informing us that all praise is for Allah. Now, in general, you know, if we were to find out that someone is praising themselves, you know, that's kind of awkward, right? Because if you think about it, as people, and we should not be praising ourselves. In fact, we have been told not to praise ourselves. Right? فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not claim yourselves to be pure. Why? Because it doesn't befit us that we praise ourselves. Because while we may be good in one way, right? We may have one quality, we also have many flaws at the same time. And this is the reality of people, that they may have certain good qualities, but at the same time, they also have certain very annoying and very upsetting traits as well. So this is the reality of the creation. And this is the reason why we don't claim ourselves to be pure and we don't praise ourselves. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. He is perfect in every way. He is free from any flaws, any imperfection, any error. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Himself over here. And this teaches us that we should never make the mistake of comparing Allah to the creation. When we apply the rules that we have for people on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when we make a huge mistake. So never apply the same rules. Never ever do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. And this is why he has every right to praise himself. So Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah is praising himself over here. And secondly, by the way that Surah Al-Fatiha begins with the mention of Allah's praise, we are being actually taught that we should praise Allah. So Alhamdulillah means قُولُوا Alhamdulillah, that all of you should say Alhamdulillah. All of us should say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is what we should say, that Allah deserves all praise. And many surahs of the Quran begin with the praise of Allah. And these surahs are Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-An'am, Surah Al-Kahf, Surah Saba, and Surah Fatir. And some ulama say that, you know, if you were to divide the Quran into certain portions, then in every portion there is a surah of the Quran that begins with the praise of Allah. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now, in the previous class, I mentioned to you the meaning of hamd. Hamd is praise. And hamd, this is a good time for you to check your notes to see what you have. Hamd, basically, you want to make sure you understand five things about hamd. The first thing is, hamd is to mention the most perfect qualities and actions of someone. Okay? To describe someone in a good way, to mention the most perfect qualities, attributes, and actions of someone. And if you think about it, all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities are perfect. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samir, this means that He hears everything. There is not a sound except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, there is not a thing that can be seen except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. So all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities are perfect. And all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions are also perfect. Because His actions range between what? Between His favor and His justice. Remember this rule. All of the actions of Allah range between His favor and His justice. So for example, if something great happens, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor. And when you see tragedy in the world, then remember that this is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's justice. None of the actions of Allah are in vain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do even the slightest injustice to His creation. Secondly, when it comes to hamd, we want to recognize the fact that it is to praise the one who is deserving of that praise. So, hamd is praise that is true, that is honest. Because a lot of people are praised, but they may not necessarily deserve that praise. It may be fake praise, it may be, you know, over embellished, but hamd is true praise. It is to praise the one who is deserving of that praise. And is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserving of all praise? Absolutely. Because He is al-hamid. He is the praiseworthy one. He is ever praiseworthy. Thirdly, we want to remember the fact that hamd is to praise someone with mahabbah and ta'zeem, with love and with reverence, with respect, with humility. So it is loving praise, it is respectful praise, and it is thankful praise. Because sometimes, you know, we say thank you to someone with our mouth, but in our heart we don't mean it at all. That's not hamd. Hamd is to say it with your heart, with love, with feelings, with respect. Fourthly, hamd is to praise in absolute terms. And this is where we recognize the difference between hamd and shukr. Shukr is only in response to a favor. But hamd is over everything. And hamd is in every state. So whether we are enjoying something, or even if we are sick, we are experiencing sickness, we are going through a really tough time, we feel like someone has been unfair to us, even in that state, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah is not just when we're feeling happy. Alhamdulillah, we should say, even when we're feeling sad. You know why? Because, you know, there might be some aspect which is painful, given the condition that we are experiencing, but there is also something good associated with it. You know, for example, just a small example, having a nightmare, having a bad dream, we learn from hadith that this is from shaitan. Shaitan tries to frighten us and shaitan plays with us, you know, in our dream. And he tries to harm us. He likes to put us in fear and worry and, you know, embarrassment. So this is why we should not share our bad dreams with people. Once a man mentioned about this terrible nightmare he had, and the Prophet ﷺ said, do not tell people about how shaitan plays with you in your sleep. Do not humiliate yourself in front of people. Now, bad dreams, you know, they're from shaitan, but if you think about it, nothing happens without the will of Allah. So how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed shaitan to have access to us basically in our sleep? There's some benefit behind that, you know, because when we dream, and especially when we have scary, frightening dreams, these kind of dreams actually prepare us to face dangers in real life. Because when we actually face those dangers in real life, that's not the first time that we are witnessing something horrifying, something extremely frightening. So even when bad things happen, when we're going through trouble, remember that there is still something good in it, or something good will result from it. This is why, alhamdulillah, when things are good, and also alhamdulillah when we're struggling. And the fifth thing is that hamd is to express praise verbally. Hamd is especially with the tongue. So hamd is not just gratitude and love for God that you feel in your heart. Hamd is praise that you express. It is to say alhamdulillah. And remember, I mentioned to you earlier that shukr can just be in the heart. You can feel grateful, but it's possible that you never express that gratitude. Hamd is praise that is verbally expressed. So alhamdulillah means that all praise is due to Allah, meaning all praise is for Allah. That Allah is deserving of all praise. Allah is deserving of absolute praise. And alhamdulillah also means that all praise is for Allah alone, meaning no one but Allah deserves absolute praise. And this is true, because people, while we may praise them for what they have done, we know that they're not perfect. We learned in Surah Al-Jathiyah, ayah number 36, that فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَرَبِّ الْأَرْضِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that for Allah is all praise, and only for Allah is all praise, who is the Lord of the skies and the Lord of the earth and the Lord of the worlds. So alhamdulillah, why is it said? It is said in gratitude, of course, out of thankfulness. But it is also said when we are, you know, experiencing difficulty. Because when we are experiencing difficulty and we say alhamdulillah, we are still practicing gratitude. And that helps us recognize the blessings of Allah that we are experiencing along with the difficulty. So alhamdulillah is the statement, it is the kalima of every shakir, of a truly grateful person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that afdalu shukri alhamdulillah, that the best form of expressing gratitude is to say alhamdulillah. And you know, Nuh alayhi salam, you will notice this in the Quran, that the prophets of Allah, they said alhamdulillah. So for example, Nuh alayhi salam, we learn about him in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse number 28, that he was told that when you embark on the ship, then فَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, then you should say alhamdulillah. In Surah Ibrahim, ayah 39, we learn Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahaba li ala al-kibari Ismaila wa Ishaq. Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. He granted me the gift of Ismaila and Ishaq, my two sons, even though I'm so old. Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, we learn about them in Surah An-Naml, ayah 15, that waqala, both of them said, alhamdulillahi alladhi faddalana ala kathirin min ibadihi al-mu'minin. All praises to Allah, the one who gave preference to us over so many of his believing servants. The people of Jannah, they will say, in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 48, we learn, they will say, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha. All praises to Allah who guided us to this. In Surah Fatir, Ayah 34, we learn they will say, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhhaba 'anna al-hazan. All praise to Allah who removed all worry from us. We have no worry in paradise. So Alhamdulillah is expressed by who? By the one who is truly, truly grateful to Allah. And you will notice that the prophets of Allah, they expressed gratitude to Allah by saying Alhamdulillah. And the prophets of Allah did not live easy lives. Nuh alayhi salam lived a long life of struggle. Ibrahim alayhi salam lived a long life of struggle. Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, they had their own struggles. The people of Jannah are who? The people who were tested in the world. So, Alhamdulillah, don't think that this is just for people who are having it all easy. Alhamdulillah is for you and I. Make a habit of saying Alhamdulillah. And say it from your heart. And Alhamdulillah, we also say it when we complete something good. So we begin with Bismillah and we conclude with Alhamdulillah. This is why when we wake up in the morning, what do we say? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. When we eat and drink, we begin with Bismillah, but at the end, what do we say? Alhamdulillah alladhi at'ama hadha. Right? And there are so many different du'as which we can say. And in all of them, we express thanks to Allah by saying Alhamdulillah. So when we say Alhamdulillah, we are essentially practicing gratitude. And when we practice gratitude, remember that gratitude actually protects us. It benefits us. In Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 147, we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Which basically means that why would Allah punish you if you are grateful and you believe? So if you are grateful and you believe, Allah will not punish you. When we say Alhamdulillah, we are rewarded and we are forgiven. In a hadith we learn, Alhamdulillahi tamla'u al-mizan. When you say Alhamdulillah, that fills the scale. Which scale? Not the scales of the world. The scale of the Day of Judgment on which deeds will be weighed. So when you say Alhamdulillah, it is so huge, you need the reward for this is so huge that it fills the scale. In another hadith we learn that every tahmida, every time that you say Alhamdulillah, you get the reward of sadaqah, you get the reward of charity. You know, sometimes we're not able to go outside and, you know, give charity, or we're not able to go to the masjid and put some donation in the donation box. We're not even able to give donation online. But just because we can't do that doesn't mean we quit on this beautiful form of worship. We can also say Alhamdulillah. And in another hadith we learn that the person who says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen with their heart, any min qibali nafsi, any just like that with their heart, then 30 good deeds are recorded for that person. And 30 sins are erased from him. When we say Alhamdulillah, we are provided. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I will increase blessings for you. And when we say Alhamdulillah, we draw closer to Allah. We increase in dignity. Because in a hadith we learn that the best servants of Allah on the Day of Judgment are who? Hammadun. Those who praise Allah a lot. So make it a habit to say Alhamdulillah. Even when you're struggling with something, make it a habit to say Alhamdulillah. And the thing is that I don't need to go into the details of the psychological benefits of gratitude. There's a lot of studies, a lot of material out there about the benefits of practicing gratitude. So the main thing is we practice gratitude, we express gratitude to Allah, because why not? He is deserving of all praise.